in clay jars, so that the extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our bodies. I'll only read one of those psalms, Psalm 34, the 18th verse. It says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." It's interesting. Brokenness is an interesting and violent term, if you will. Brokenness means this. It means to be shattered, crushed, maimed, devoid of arrogance, wounded, contrite, injured, smashed, grieved, anxious, distressed, crippled, wrecked, demolished, handicapped, and disabled. Brokenness is the spiritual state by which one is disarmed from his or her self-dependence and pride. Crawford the Rich puts it like this. He says, brokenness is to live in a constant state of God neediness. We as believers and leaders in particular, don't think you because you've read 30 leadership books that you don't need God no more. Don't think because you got you a little bit of educational schooling that you don't need God more. Look, I got an undergrad degree, a master, a four-year master degree, and a 3 or 4 year doctorate degree. And I need God more than the average person, because all that stuff lets you know is of how ignorant you are to what you don't know and how much you need to know and how much you need God. But then God purposefully, I hate it, to be honest. If you're honest, you hate it. That God constantly is so after your heart. He's so after working on you that there is never not, I know that's a double negative, there is never not going to be a season in your life where God is going to put you through some brokenness. Every single time I feel like I got a great accomplishment going on, there's something that goes on to counterbalance the excitement that I wanted to have and what I felt like I was experiencing. Right now, we're working on a 133,000 square foot building project in a hard part of North Philly, where we're looking to start a school. It's a food desert, so we want to start a grocery store there. We're trying to start a black beauty supply store, y'all, you know. Beauty supply. You know, we want to start a tech institute, a bunch of things that we want to do. For single moms, 90% of the families in our community are single parent homes. We want to do a daycare center that's safe so kids don't get molested, everything's structured well. We want to do all of this. We're on the cusp of all this. Raise the down payment within 6 weeks in an inner city church with people across different sides. So I'm like, yeah, God is working. All of a sudden, my wife's cancer begins to come back. I'm like, God. Now, she just got a transplant. Can she get a break? And God said, see that attitude right there? See, you wildin'. That's how God talked to me. I don't know how he talked to you. He said, E, you wildin'. You understand? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you to grab a hold to the ways that I want you to function in my weakness so that I can make you biblically strong.
Yes.
He's like, you can lead better as a broken leader than you can as a boisterous leader. Mm. All right, I got to get this 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is strange to me, because Paul goes to a middle upper class church that he planted. He knows this is the highfalutin people. You know, this is not South Dallas Christians, this is North Dallas Christians. I know where I'm at. Y'all got bread around here. EBB, y'all shot tie, right? Us fake tongues, don't get mad at me. I do speak tongues. Glad to let you know. Paul is at a church that, if it was today, it would have valet service. You know, Bentleys would be driving up. S60s would be driving up. You understand what? Bugatti's, I'm sorry, hip hop culture in me, would be driving up. They would have all kinds of valet service. But Paul, They want their leaders to be fly, have the latest everything on. That's how Corinth was. It's a fly church. But Paul does something weird. Paul doesn't play into what they like. He says, what qualifies me for ministry, family of God, is not how fly I am as a leader. It's not where my zip code is. He said, what qualifies me as an apostle and leader is the level of brokenness that I walk in that keeps me weak enough so that God's power can be exalted in my life.
That's it.
And so I got three things. Then I got to get out your way. Three things, and then I'm done. If you're going to be a leader that's broken and dependent on God, number one, you got to recognize that God put power in your vessel. God put power in your vessel. Look at what it says in verse 7. It says, now we have this treasure in clay jars. Now, this is crazy because right before this in chapter 3, he's talking about the fact that Moses had a fading glory, but now in the gospel, by trusting Christ, by grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone, now you have the treasure of the glory of God utilizing you as a tabernacle or a person with an endorsement deal from God. Okay, let me see if I can make it plain. Back in the mid-80s, these sneakers came out. You know, dude was on the basketball court, tongue all out, doing all this slamming. You know what I'm saying? Cash was like, you know, but everybody wanted to know what he was wearing. So they would look at what he had on his feet. And because of what he had on his feet, a company, Nike, put their name on him. They put their name on him so that when he's out on the basketball court doing his thing, people, based on him showing them off, would want to get what he has on. Listen, what God has done in the gospel for you is he's giving you an endorsement deal. And the more you walk in brokenness, God wants to show off the gear that you have in your soul, the glory gear in your soul, how you deal with mess in your soul, how you deal with broken relationships in your soul, how you deal with challenges in your soul. How do you deal with everything? And people are going to be like, how in the world does that person make it through all they're going through? How in the world does it's got to be something? Oh, I see something that's sight beyond sight that I need in my life. He's giving you an endorsement deal. Giving you and I an endorsement deal. And so in giving us an endorsement deal, the text says he has this treasure in clay pots. Now that's weird. Because back then there were either bronze vessels, gold vessels, or silver vessels. In their home, and that's what they would put their treasures in. And they didn't have safe deposit boxes on the level we got now. So they would put them in nice places so that when a person saw that, he's like, oh, what you got in there? In other words, because of the way this looks, I know something of value is in it. But Paul says, we have this treasure in clay pots. Now, the question is, what are clay pots for? Back then, it was their bathroom. God chose... I know you're cute. I know you got your hair done. I know you got lined up real nice and got your gear tight and you used the lint brush this morning. But you're just a piece of clay. As a leader, you have to remember, no matter how small it gets, no matter how big it gets, you're just clay. Because the value, you got to be careful of this in leadership. The value, your value in ministry is not how well you do. Because even when you're successful, you won't always feel that way. So if you base your values on feeling, you're in trouble. Brokenness reestablishes where the treasure is. And it says this treasure is in earthen vessels. In other words, God chose to put his greatest treasure inside of us who are messed up, tore up from the floor up, and in desperate need of all kinds of help. And that's the challenge that he's pointing to in this ministry. As Paul says, my qualifications in ministry is not based on external faculties, but it's based on internal transformation. Because if we don't recognize that in leadership and in developing and being and in our calling, we're in unadulterated trouble. But he says, so that the extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. Then he gives this list. Now, this list is a crazy list because he's basically saying, this is what qualifies me to lead. He says, I'm afflicted in every way, but not crushed. He said, that's how you know you're a leader. He said, hell can bring, the word can be translated, Eric Mason translated, afflicted in every way means to get jumped. That's hood language. It means a bunch of people beating you down at the same time. Life will sometimes do that to you. You ever had everything go wrong at the same time? Sometimes it's not the devil that's your problem. Ain't nobody gonna talk back on that part. There's some stuff that God assigns to your life that you can't rebuke out. Because he brought it there to work on you. So sometimes everything going wrong is actually anointed by God.
That's right. That's right.
And all he's trying to do is show you something. He says, I'm afflicted in every way. In other words, hell is breaking loose in every area of my life, but I'm not crushed. In other words, everything going on in my life, God utilizes it to get us down to the least common denominator so that in him we can know what we're really made out of. See, the problem with us as leaders in Christ, we don't know what we're made out of. See, you're made out of spiritual material from heaven based on the blood of Jesus Christ. And so God got to get some of the nonsense out of your life, some of the things thinking out of your life, and get it down to the core things that will help you to never forget where you are. And so God will always put you in situations to knock down the stuff you look up to, knock down the stuff you like to put at the forefront. Guess what? So that you can say, I know I should be in worse condition than this, but I'm not crushed. I'm still here. I wish I had about 25 people that's ever been through something where everything was going wrong in your life, but something rose up in the side of you and it said, I should be crazy by now. I should have lost my mind by now. But right now, I just realized that I'm still here. Still here. There's some stuff that should have permanently took you out. But God.
Yeah.
I gotta move. Not only are we afflicted in every way, but it says next, we are perplexed. This is crazy, but not despairing. Okay, see, there's a difference. Perplexity is confused hope, hopeful confusion. That's what perplexity is. Perplexity. Despairing is suicidal disposition. See, despairing is the loss of hope.
Yes.
See, the thing that the devil wants to steal from leaders is hope.
Yes. Yes.
Why? There's a biblical and theological reason why.
That's it.
Why does the devil want to take hope from you? He wants to take hope from you because without hope, you can't have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do I know that? 2 + 2 = 4. What is it says? Faith is the substance of things
hopeful.
If you don't hope for anything, you can't have faith.
Mm.
So what he does is he'll use God's assignments of breaking you to come in with spiritual warfare to give you a false perspective of what God is up to. He'll give you a false perspective of what God is up to, false perspective of God's love for you. He loves to challenge the character of God in your life. And when he challenges the character of God in your life and he gets you off to yourself with him, pulling you away from the herd of encouragement, you will get in a place of despair, because the hope is the visionary expectation that things can be different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, you can't have vision as a leader without hope. Even though our vision is really strategy of God's vision that we apply in a way that looks like vision to human beings, but it's based on a theological vision that God has set up based on his macro narrative, and we do it in our micro narrative. That's what I was going to speak on earlier, but I got to move. Perplexity. Perplexity is confusion that God let it happen to you.
Mm.
But the willingness to say, though they slay me, yet will I trust him.
Yeah.
God, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why you allowed this to happen to me. I don't know why you allowed this to happen to me, but God, you allowed this to happen to me, and I can still see that you're up to something. I can still have expectations of things being different, even though my right now is not where my eyesight wants me to be. So where I am, God, work in me the works of what you want in me, so that I can be a good steward of the thing that I'm visualizing you taking me to. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect work in you. And if anyone lacks wisdom, there it is. Wisdom ends perplexity. Because wisdom is the application of what you know. And so when we look here and he says this, and he works through all of these different things he works us through, he goes from there to despairing to perplexity. He goes from there to persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. And so let me tell you several things that God loves to break you of. It's stuff he just loves to break his people of. One of the things that the Lord loves to break his people up of is their plans. Our plans. The Bible says a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord orders his steps. Let me see if I can break this down. I remember I was in my first year of college. I had written this extraordinary paper. I went beast mode for Jesus in that paper. You know the way I handed it in. I was like, look, you understand what I mean? This right here, it's finna be an example for the generations. Okay, lay this on the table. Look at it later when you got your cup of tea, you know what I'm saying? When you got some real, the windows open, breeze coming in. Because this is a situation happening on your table right now. You understand what I'm saying? That's what I told the teacher. Right. So this is a situation. Next period. Got the jaw back. Yeah. So, when I looked at my paper, I could not tell the difference between what I wrote and what she wrote. That mug was bloody. I thought this was, I was like, this was the example. But she said, Mr. Mason, she still let me have my dignity. She said, Mr. Mason, she said, sir, I see the disappointment in your face. If you would look where I marked in red, make the correction, and hand it back in, I'll give you credit. Somebody gonna get that tomorrow. See, when you make a plan in your life, God will break you by writing all over it, scribbling all kinds of stuff over it, and you're like, why is all of this red over my plans? But the reason why all the red is over your plans is because God applied the blood of Jesus to your plans. And when he applied the blood of Jesus to your plans, he says, family, go make the corrections where you see red. Bring it back to me and I'll put it into place. See, you better let the Lord God break you in your life and challenge you in your life and bring you out in your life, because he loves to break people's plans. I'm gonna give you one more thing that he breaks, and then I'll give you the last point. I'm out your way. One more thing he likes to break is he loves to break your will. Help us today, God. He loves to break your will. Jonah. Tells your man Jonah, he says, your man go up to, once you go to Nineveh, the seat of the Assyrian Empire, I want you to proclaim against it. Jonah was like, oh, word? Chuck the deuces. He went down, the text says, to Joppa, but then he went down to the bottom of the ship. That's a narrative prose to tell you, whenever you go away from God's presence, it's always going down. But little do we know, we can't go away from his presence. And the Bible says that when he got to the boat, my Hebrew professor at Dallas Seminary said, the pay that he paid, actually in the Hebrew means he paid everybody's fare. He chartered it, meaning he wanted to get away from the presence of God so bad, he paid for everybody to get the ship off the dock. Now, so he put his confidence in the boat to get him away from God's presence. Stay right there.
Teach, man.
I want you to remember that. And God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Spirit, they're triune, sitting in heaven, in eternal existence and bliss and enjoyment of each other, unified in essence, but different in person. And they're sitting there. And the Father looks at Jesus and said, you see this fool? He said, Pops, I don't know what's wrong with these guys. Holy Ghost like, get him. So God the Father stands up from his throne. He puts on his baseball cap, turns it backwards. And he gets up the bat. Now the reason why I'm using this is because the Bible is going to say he hurled a storm, which God blew a storm into his hand. Means he anointed a specific storm.
Wow.
The storm wasn't universal. The storm was specific. And the Bible says he hurled the storm at the boat.
Yes, sir.
At the boat. The very thing that Jonah was trusting to be an ark for him against God. God appointed a specific storm to disrupt the direction that he had him in, because he had so much purpose on his life that he wouldn't even let Jonah get in Jonah's way of what God wanted to do in his life, in your life. What does God have to specifically appoint a storm for to break up to get you back in his will?
Wow.
What does he have to do? What does he have to do in your life? Does he have to touch your house? Does he have to touch your job?
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Does he have to blow a storm into your finances? Does he have to blow a storm into your business? Does he have to blow one into your body? God loves his will on your life so much that he'll appoint specific challenges, systems. Well, there's a problem, God has a system for it. I stole it from you, Doc. Ain't getting it back. Yes, he loves you enough to not let you create your own path.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because leaders, we're ambitious. We always doing something all over the place. So God loves us enough to bring storms that keep us in focus.
Well,
I got one more thing. I'm done. God puts power in the vessel. God puts pressure on the vessel. But God promotes Jesus through the vessel. God promotes Jesus through the vessel. The text says, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. This is code language for when I break you, I build you up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What I love about God, family, he doesn't break you to depress you. He does it. I promise. He breaks you to make you better so that you can promote Jesus to people better.
Mm.
But to promote Jesus better in your life, you have to have an encounter with him.
Mm.
The encounter is not just for salvation, it's for your sanctification. Mm. Because we are forgetful sheep. Mm-hmm. And so we have to constantly be blown on by God through different types of situations that remind us of our need for Jesus to be in the center of everything. And what's crazy about that is he uses the stuff to build you. I'm going to tell you this and I'm out your way. I had a friend. He ran a nasty 4.2. Nasty 4.2. You understand what I'm saying? Run. I mean, pill run. Right? Fast. Y'all know what pion mean. Y'all know what that mean. Y'all country, y'all know what I'm talking about. Running fast. And he was in practice. He was just doing practice drills, you know, all the stuff they do. I don't know nothing about that. He got hit real nice. Real nice in the leg. This here snapped clean in two. He was so angry, he couldn't even feel the pain. And he went to the doctor. And he asked the doctor, he said, "Doc, will I ever be able to run again?" And the doctor said to him, he says, "Interesting that you'd ask this. This is actually a good break." He said, "A good break?" He said, "Yeah, it was just one spot and it just clean broke."
Mm.
It was a clean, beautiful break. He's looking at him, "How's this beautiful?" He said, "Because of how it's going to heal."
Mm.
He said, "See, where you got broke at, we're going to put some stuff around it to hold it in place while it heals." He said, "But when it heals right here, the way God made your bones is for where it's broken, it gets reinforced with more bone in the place where it was broken so that you won't have to ever either get broken again or it'll be harder to get broken in that place again because it's been strengthened in ways because of it being broken that it never would have been strengthened in if it had never been broken.
Woo!
If you had never went through that loss, you'd have never been strengthened. If you'd have never went through the loss of those people, you'd have never been strengthened. If you never went through that sickness, you'd have never got strengthened. God has you stronger after the breakage than he had you before the breakage. There's more after the breakage. There's breakthrough after the breakage. There's ministry after the breakage. There's holiness after the breakage. There's iron after the breakage. There's leaders after the breakage. There's evangelism after the breakage." I'm out your way. All I want to encourage you with is that you're better now after all that you went through than you were before. Some of you right now are being broken now. Right now, you're being broken now and you're confused. God says, "Don't be confused. Have your perfect work, God, and help me to never forget my need for you." God bless y'all and take care.
Can we thank God for Pastor Eric? Can we thank God for this message? This is my brother, y'all, from before my married life. 20 years, I appreciate you. We thank God for him. Listen, I want to take a few moments before we move on because I know that these conferences are about information. And you can get so many notes, you can miss what the Spirit is saying to you. So I know that there's some people who are going through some brokenness right now. And you're wondering how all this plays into what God wants to do in your life. And for those of you who are in a good season, the brokenness is coming. Just know it. So I want to do something real quick before we transition to our breakouts. If you're in a season of brokenness, you're balancing between being perplexed and despairing. The enemy is trying to snatch your hope. Can you just stand? Can we just have a safe place for our leaders to stand? I want to pray for you. Because let me tell you something. The enemy knows the plan that God has for you. And if he can jack up your personal hope, he knows that the greater plan will never get accomplished. He will take any form of distraction that he can. And I know it's real. And I know the people that you pour into and that need something from you are not often thinking about what you're going through. And so I want to take a few moments to pray. If you're standing next to a leader that's standing, can you just lay a hand on them for a minute? This is the group that God is using to change the world. So they are prime targets for the enemy's attack. And if you're not standing, praise God for today, but be prepared for what's coming. Father, we come to you now, and I thank you for every leader in this room. I thank you for every vision, every dream, every plan that's represented in this room, God. And I know that in your sovereignty, you may be allowing some things, some storms to come into the lives of these amazing men and women. And right now, God, we just first say thank you. That we know that even in the perplexity, we don't have to be despairing. That even when hope seems lost, it's not actually lost. Would you remind us, God, that even what we feel is different than what the facts are? You have guaranteed us a hope. We have this hope in Christ Jesus. God, we know that you have a plan for us. I pray right now encouragement for all of the leaders that pour and pour and give and give and toil and tarry and pray and plan and strategize and wonder how the ends are going to be met and wonder how things are going to grow and wonder what you're going to do next, wonder if they're qualified. Would you just speak life and encouragement right now? Would you speak assurance? Would you speak security? Would you speak confidence? Would you speak stability? Would your spirit just begin to move in them in a way that reminds them of why they did this in the first place? Will you take us back to that first call, the first time our hearts were burning, knowing we had to do this thing for you? And so, God, I pray right now that you would give every person standing here a discernment, a spiritual perspective on whatever's facing them. Yes. That they would see God even when it doesn't look good. That they would see you in the diagnosis. They would see you in the financial struggle. They would see you even in the marital discord. They'd see you in the family issues. They'd see you in the church issues, the organizational issues. Yes. That you would give us a perspective to still see your hand. Yes. And to know that in the valley of the shadow of death, yes, the solution is not the mountaintop. The solution is you are with us. Yes. And you comfort us. Yes. Your presence, God, is what makes the difference. So, God, we just pray and I thank you that in their brokenness, they're still here. That they came to learn and to grow. That they're still serving. They're still going strong. So, God, we pray right now that the enemy will not win. And that even though this battle might be difficult, God, we know the war, the victory has already been guaranteed. And so we pray, God, for these leaders, for their strength. That as they go through this weekend and get galvanized for the rest of this year, they'll be reminded that in the brokenness, there is beauty. We give you glory, God. We believe you. We will not lose hope. We will not lose hope, God. We will not be silent. Yeah. We will receive whatever you have for us, knowing that it is for your glory. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we give God glory? Do you believe him today?
Better after the breakage, after the breakage. Thank you guys so much for being here and for pushing through and for pouring into yourselves. Can you give one more round of applause for yourselves? Just for investing into your leadership. We have a couple of announcements before you get ready to go out to your breakouts. On the way in, you should have gotten one of these.